ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदिशतारिणे। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। टुडे द थॉट दैट वेइंग वेरी हेविली इन माय हार्ट इज that His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj is not here with us on this very special occasion. Actually, this is the first time that in an occasion like this, Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day festival, Jayapataka Maharaj is not here with us in Mayapur. Srila Prabhupada, as Harisauri Prabhu very aptly pointed out, is that it's His mercy that actually makes Him stand out, His compassion. And we saw how His compassion has attracted all of us. And when we distribute that compassion to others, then we become an appropriate tool in the hands of Srila Prabhupada. From the very beginning of my involvement in ISKCON, I felt that compassion. I came to Mayapur as a visitor. I just came. Those days, not many people used to come to Mayapur. I already read one book of Srila Prabhupada, the one that I just got, and it changed my entire life. The very first page of that book actually changed my whole life. I was in India searching for a guru. Over a year I had been searching but couldn't find a single one to whom I could actually surrender, because I knew that I have to surrender myself to guru. That is the way of spiritual life. And I couldn't find anybody, and when I practically gave up my search, I came across the Nectar of Devotion. Generally, later on I have seen, one actually is encouraged to start from Bhagavad Gita and other such simpler books. But somehow, the first book that I got was Nectar of Devotion. And that also because I was in Calcutta temple, I wanted a book. I asked for a Bhagavad Gita and they didn't have a Bhagavad Gita. So I told them, give me any book that you have. And they thought that Nectar of Devotion, no, they showed me a few books and I thought the Nectar of Devotion would look somewhat like the volume of the Bhagavad Gita. So I just decided to take that one. And when I went home and started to read, from the very first page, it just occurred to me that this is what I was looking for. And that was it. Like, I couldn't stop reading. I just kept on reading till I fell asleep. The next morning, as I woke up, the first thing I did is to pick up the book and start reading. And that night, I had a dream of Srila Prabhupada. I saw His Divine Grace sitting on something that looked like a throne, because usually in India, the sadhus don't sit on an elaborate seat. They sit on a simple seat. But Prabhupada was sitting on a seat that looks like a throne. Of course, later on I realized that that is Prabhupada's Vasasana. There was a brilliant light around Srila Prabhupada, and my heart was filled with joy that finally I found my spiritual master. That overwhelming feeling was just made it very clear to me that here is my spiritual master. I didn't ask him any question. I just offered myself to him. And then I found out that Srila Prabhupada was in the West. Srila Prabhupada was in America. So I decided that until Srila Prabhupada came back to India, I would travel to different places. And the first place I came to was Mayapur. I came here, as I said, just as a visitor. But one thing I noticed, that all the devotees I spoke to, they were simply displaying that compassion. They were just telling me, why don't you stay here? Why don't you try it out? Like everybody was actually conveying that simple message. Why don't you stay here? Why don't you try it out? Why don't you see what we have to offer? And so the next morning, I shaved up, went to the Ganges, threw away my old clothes, put on a dhoti and kurta that I got from the shop by the wall, and I became a devotee. I wrote to home, my father, that I came to Mayapur and I decided to stay here for some time. And he didn't mind, because that's what I was already doing. Like, I was going to different places, staying in different ashrams, trying it out. So he thought, well, this is another one that I was going to try out. But I stayed for a month, and when I didn't go back for a month, then I got a letter from my father saying that my cousin was getting married, so I should come home, at least attend his wedding. So that day also some unusual thing happened. I had a little disagreement with one of the devotees here. And when I left for Calcutta, I didn't tell anybody. I just went, and in a way, everyone thought that I left. At that time, Jayapataka Maharaj was not here, and he was traveling and preaching. And I think this next day or the day after, he came back, and he got to know that I left. And he went to Calcutta, he went to my house. And that day, I was not at home, I was visiting a friend. So I went to his place in the morning and I came back late at night. When I came back, and then my father told me that Jayapataka Swami came from Mayapur. He already came 3-4 times, so this is the compassion that actually sustains our movement and makes our movement so special. It was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who brought that compassion. Mahavadanya Avatar, Srila Prabhupada took that compassion, distributed it all over the world, and Srila Prabhupada's sincere devotees are doing that, and that is the legacy that we actually have the compassion and mercy. Actually, when Harishori Prabhu started to speak on that, I just recalled that we also discussed on that in the GBC meeting. Actually, we discussed on the topic, and at that time the theme that Ravindra Swarup presented was mercy. What makes Prabhupada stand out? What is so special about Srila Prabhupada that will make him stand out at all time is his mercy. And actually mercy and compassion are in a way synonymous. The display of compassion is mercy. And when I look back, I consider so much mercy I received from so many devotees from the very beginning of my spiritual life. Anyway, to go back to that point, like when I heard that Jayapadaka Maharaj came, it was already late. It was already about 10:30 at night. And I was feeling extremely bad. So next morning, I just went to the temple, Albert Road Temple. I arrived there around 4 o'clock in the morning, and the door was locked, door was closed from inside. So I was just sitting on the staircase. I attended the Mangala Arati. I met Jayapataka Maharaj, and he didn't want to wait. Right after Mangala Arati, he said, "Let's go." And I said, "Let's go." So we just came back to Mayapur. And so that is the compassion that Jayapataka Maharaj displayed time and time again. I have noticed, not only me, so many devotees, when they left and Jayapataka Maharaj got to know, he would just visit them. Like there's some devotees I remember, he left, went back to his home at Navadvip. Jayapataka Maharaj went and got him back. So as I mentioned, my spiritual life actually began in Mayapur, and I was waiting for Srila Prabhupada to come back to India, and I got to know that Srila Prabhupada came to Bombay. And at that time I was quite involved with so many different areas. So Bhavananda Prabhu was the co-director of Mayapur with Jayapataka Maharaj. So he was sort of my boss those days. So I told him that I wanted to go to Bombay to meet Srila Prabhupada. And he told me that, look, in Bombay nobody knows you. And besides that, Srila Prabhupada is very sick. So you will not be able to meet him, because Prabhupada is not meeting anybody unless one is very, very important. And so don't try to go to Bombay. Rather you wait, and when Prabhupada comes here in Mayapur, then you meet him. So I accepted that. But then I got the news that Srila Prabhupada went to Allahabad to attend the Kumbh Mela. And at that time, Guru Kripa Prabhu was here with his very special Namhat group. So a team of Namhat and few devotees from Mayapur decided to go to Allahabad in a bus. So we went there, went to Allahabad, and as soon as we arrived, I just wanted to see Srila Prabhupada. I immediately ran to where Srila Prabhupada was staying. Prabhupada was staying in a tent which was walled with corrugated tin sheets, and there was an entrance, and at that entrance there was a big-bodied devotee guarding the gate. And so he stopped me and said that you can't go there, come in the evening when Prabhupada gives darshan. Little disappointed, I was just walking away. And at that time, Bhavananda Prabhu was just going to see Srila Prabhupada with a basket full of vegetables that he carried from Mayapur. Potal, that's right. Basket full of potal. Parval. And he saw me and he said, come, we'll go to Srila Prabhupada. So he was running and I also ran after him, really ecstatic with the hope of seeing Srila Prabhupada. And one mistake I made was when Bhavananda walked into Prabhupada's tent, I offered obeisances from outside, and then when I tried to go inside, then Rameshwar Swami, who was the secretary of Prabhupada at that time, he stopped me and said, Prabhupada is taking lunch, so don't go in now. Another time I got disappointed. And from that time, I didn't try to approach Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Prabhupada was giving darshan in the evening. I would just go there, listen to Srila Prabhupada, and just bathe in Srila Prabhupada's wonderful association. And in the mornings, there would be Guru Puja and an ecstatic kirtan. We would go there, attend the Guru Puja, but did not try. I learned my lesson. Don't try to get close to Srila Prabhupada. You are a totally insignificant individual. So don't try to get close to Srila Prabhupada. He is very special and you are absolutely insignificant. So with that in mind, I was just one of the spectators, one of the audience. Then one morning we got to know that Srila Prabhupada was leaving Allahabad for Calcutta. And anyway, I just accepted that. My Prabhupada decided to leave all of a sudden. And then Bhavananda Prabhu came to me and he told me that Prabhupada is leaving and Prabhupada will leave in the evening, leave at night by train, and a few devotees will be traveling with him, and you have been included in that group. I knew it was his mercy that included me in that group. So the train started at night, and soon after the train started, we took rest. In the morning, after taking bath, I was chanting, and Bhavananda Prabhu came and said, come, I'll take you to Srila Prabhupada. And all these months, I was just waiting. I was dying to meet Srila Prabhupada. But when this time came, when it was just a matter of one compartment away and meet Srila Prabhupada, I felt absolutely unqualified for that. And probably Bhavananda Prabhu could understand what was going on in my mind. He grabbed me by my hand, dragged me through the corridor, opened the door to Srila Prabhupada's compartment and pushed me in. I laid flat on the ground offering obeisances. When I got up, Srila Prabhupada was looking at me and he asked me to sit next to him. In the seat in front was Jayapataka Maharaj, Bhavananda Maharaj, and I think it was Rameshwar. Yeah. And Harisauri Prabhu, Abhiram Prabhu, who was the temple president, he was sitting on the floor. So I told Prabhupada, I would rather sit on the floor, but Prabhupada insisted that I just rolled the blanket that was spread over the seat away, and then I just sat in one corner. And after some initial exchanges, Prabhupada just gave me the service to translate his books into Bengali. And I came to the movement very late. I joined the movement in 76. I met Srila Prabhupada in 77 January. And in 77 November, Srila Prabhupada left this planet. But although I came very late, I had the good fortune of being very close to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada allowed me to serve him in a very special way, so to say. And I always consider that it is whatever good fortune that I have received in Krishna consciousness, it's simply due to the mercy of the devotees. Jayapataka Maharaja's mercy, Bhavananda Prabhu's mercy, Tamal Krishna Maharaja's mercy. Harisori Prabhu used to be Prabhupada's servant those days. One morning, Harisori Prabhu came and asked me, "Can you cook?" And I blurted out, without thinking, "Yes." And then he comes down after a little while. He said, "Prabhupada wanted you to cook for him today." And then I realized that I actually do not know how to cook. So I was completely bewildered. And I think I even told him, actually, although I told you that I know how to cook, but I don't think I'll be able to cook for Srila Prabhupada. He said, "Well, Prabhupada wanted you to cook." So I went and got hold of Pishima, Prabhupada's sister. And I told Pishima that, I told Pishima what happened. Pishima said, "Don't worry, I will show you how to cook." And so together we went to the kitchen. And actually it was Pishima who cooked the prasad for Prabhupada. So it was looked gorgeous when I made the plate and I carried the plate to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada asked, "Who cooked?" And I said, "Pishima." Prabhupada was very, very annoyed. He told me that I wanted you to cook. And anyway, that was now speaking about Prabhupada's mercy in the form of chastisement. Those who had it, they know what a nectar it is. When Prabhupada would chastise you, you would feel that your vertebral column is shaking with an uncontrollable, in an uncontrollable way. There's no way you can stop it. You don't know why it's happening. But all you know is that your body is trembling as if your vertebral column is making it shake in that way. The last thing I wanted to also mention, just one more thing I want to mention briefly. In one hand, Prabhupada's chastisement and the purpose of that incidents, telling that incidents is that how Prabhupada actually wanted us to just be at his lotus feet in ISKCON and not go anywhere else. Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, his health condition was quite precarious. The feeling was, Prabhupada actually told us in Rishikesh that he was going to leave his body and he wanted us to take him to Vrindavan. So he told, "The time has come for me to leave my body. So I want to leave my body in Vrindavan. Please take me to Vrindavan immediately." So we took Prabhupada to Vrindavan. So everybody knew that Prabhupada was going to leave his body. And one such day, Tamal Krishna Maharaj told me that if Prabhupada leaves his body, we don't know what to do. So we heard that Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj is in Vrindavan, so why don't you meet him and find out what should he do if Prabhupada left his body. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj told me, and so I went, I found out that Srila Prabhupada was, found out that Srila Prabhupada was in, I'm sorry, Srila Krishna Babaji Maharaj was in Madhav Maharaj's mat. Those who do not know, Krishna's Babaji Maharaj is a very, very wonderful devotee, very close to Srila Prabhupada, and he was very renounced. He did not build any temple, he did not give any initiation, he didn't accept any disciple. He would just travel from one place to another. He wouldn't stay at one place, from one temple, for more than 3 days. And in this way, he would constantly travel around. And wherever he would go, he would just chant Hare Krishna. He was always chanting Hare Krishna. And he was always laughing. And especially when he came to meet Srila Prabhupada, both of them would laugh and laugh and laugh. And Babaji Maharaj was absolutely non-envious. And so I went to Madhav Maharaj's mat. Babaji Maharaj was not there. I was told that he is in some other mat, so I went there. I couldn't find him there either. And then when I came back, Upendra Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's personal servant at that time, he told me that Prabhupada was looking for me. So I immediately went to Prabhupada's room, and I told him that I asked him whether he was looking for me or why he was looking for me. Then Prabhupada asked me, where did you go? I told Prabhupada I went to Madhav Maharaj's mat. And I could hear Prabhupada's voice, anger was ringing in Prabhupada's voice. So Prabhupada asked me, why did you go there? So I told Prabhupada I went to see Srila Babaji Maharaj. Prabhupada's voice became even stronger, louder. He asked, why did you go there? And as I told you that, you know, in uncontrollable shaking of the spinal column started to happen. And Prabhupada, I was silent, I couldn't say anything. I couldn't really tell Prabhupada why I went to see Babaji Maharaj. And but Prabhupada's voice became louder and louder. It was it sounded like the whole room was shaking due to his loud voice. And he was just asking, why did you go there? Why did you go there? And then finally I just spoke up and said, Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Maharaj sent me. And then Prabhupada said, oh, I see. And he became quiet. From that I learnt a very, very important message, that Prabhupada did not want to go anywhere, no matter whoever he is. Babaji Maharaj, who was, everybody knew, who was so detached, so renounced, who did not accept any disciple even. Prabhupada didn't even want us to go to him. And so what to speak of searching for something, thinking that we are going to get something higher, thinking that something that Prabhupada didn't give us and somebody else will give us. Prabhupada gave us everything. Everything is there. Prabhupada gave in his books. Prabhupada gave us ISKCON. And ISKCON is the most wonderful shelter that we can ever have to guard our spiritual life and to enhance our spiritual life. Unfortunately, those who did not have such close association of Srila Prabhupada do not realize that. They think that it's all right to go out of ISKCON, away from Srila Prabhupada, to somebody else, to some other institution. But anyone who had close association of Srila Prabhupada knew that Srila Prabhupada did not want us to go anywhere else, no matter whoever that personality is. He simply wanted us to be His loyal children, protected most wonderfully under His protective wings of ISKCON, and our spiritual life will be safe and everything will be achieved if we just remain there. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaur Premanande Hari.